The United States Fed is very likely to drop interest rates this week, closely followed by everybody else on the planet Earth.
Yeah.
Are you pro interest rate declines or anti interest rate declines?
Am I holding the spade now? Should I put the spade
down? This episode of Stand Up Business is sponsored by Fuad Asset Management, investment stewards since 1981, and pioneers in foundational financial literacy. Mark, hi, good morning.
Good morning. You'll be pleased to know that in the S of A,
yes,
your pets are safer than they are in the US of A. Okay. That's what I've heard, you know, from the
Kiffness
and others. I've stopped watching the US election.
Yes.
What do you call it? Fiasco. I'm sick of that shit. So I'm moving on. In fact, before we get onto the animals, maybe we should talk. I saw a thing about how there was a guy spotted with a rifle.
Right.
Quote, that's a quote, spotted with a rifle, as if that were a rare occurrence in the US survey. Okay?
Yes, exactly.
And that was another quote in the vicinity
right.
of where Trump was playing golf.
Right.
And the whole thing has been now called an assassination attempt. I ask you. I think it's a media event.
Yes.
Anyway, yeah. The dogs and cats.
It is very hard not to feel sorry for, you know, the cats and the dogs
in
Springfield. Like, because obviously there's proof, you know, there's no proof. There's people who have said it.
Yeah.
So, you know, when someone says something, that's its own kind of proof. You know what I mean? You don't have to go further than, I mean, because there's obviously going to be people who say they're eating the dogs, they're eating the cat.
Yeah.
And there's going to be people who say there's not.
No, I believe it's no longer woke
right.
in certain restaurants in the US to advertise hot dogs. Okay, because people are getting a bit nervous about that sort of thing. It's fascinating that these are presidential debates. These are presidential. These are not two oaks in a pub who've had to spend too much time there. These are presidential debates, for goodness sake.
You know what's really important about the cats and the dogs thing?
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned. Yeah. And that is that it happened in Springfield. Do you know the history, perhaps, of Springfield, Massachusetts?
You're going to tell me.
Yeah. Springfield, Massachusetts is famously the place, it was the armory of the Civil War and is the headquarters of Smith & Wesson, the gun makers.
Okay.
But they are also the home of mass production in the United States. And they were also the place where the first American car was built, which was built by Thomas Blanchard in 1890.
I know I shouldn't interrupt you because I'm sure you're going to connect the dots between car manufacture and eating your pets. I'm going to wait for it, so I'm not going to interrupt you, Tim. Please go ahead. Yeah.
No. There's a
I can see the tapestry being woven here, so I'll shut up. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
No. I mean, the thing about Springfield is that it has an enormously long history in manufacturing.
Yeah.
And because of that, it's a place where a lot of immigrants have come, legal immigrants, because there's manufacturing jobs, right?
And therefore,
immigration is an issue in the town. You know, a lot of companies are looking for cheap labor, and then they get people who are from, you know, Haiti and elsewhere, legally, by the way, to come and work in the factories. You know, there's an old population of Springfield who's now completely outnumbered by the sort of immigrant culture. So around about 40% of Springfield is now, how should we say, traditional Springfield. Right, okay. So that's why it's an issue in the immigration debate. So I just thought I should add that little pearl of wisdom.
You're not going to not get into shit for that. But carry on. No, please. Yeah.
So on to more important things. The United States Fed is very likely to drop interest rates this week, closely followed by everybody else on the planet Earth.
Yeah.
Are you pro interest rate declines or anti interest rate declines?
I am pro interest rate declines, but not to the point that you have proactive quantitative easing.
Okay.
Because I actually think that what happens in quantitative easing is that the money gets sent to the hospitals, but it never gets delivered to the patients. Okay. So I don't think that quantitative easing is a retail experience as much as it is an institutional love affair. Okay. And so, you know, I think that dropping interest rates as a reaction to the facts as they present them and so on is a good thing. However, I don't think it's that anymore. I think it's proactive in relation to currency strengths vis-a-vis global trade balances and things of that nature. So I think this debate, as much as it affects us retail guys, it's not driven by us retail guys. What are your view?
I mean, I think you're right. I mean, in general terms, that's good news, right? The stock market's going to bounce.
Is it good news?
Yeah. No, I think so. Net, it's good news.
Isn't interest rates in the debate I'm just raising, which is global trade, a relative thing? So if everyone drops interest rates, you end up in a race for the trade. Okay. The other side. But locally, in terms of, you know, purchasing power and, you know, the balance with inflation and so on balance, it's a good thing. Am I holding the spade now? Should I put the spade down?
Yes. Okay. Well, let me just list them, right?
Yeah.
So lower interest rates mean higher valuations on the stock market because companies' borrowings cost less. That applies equally in the real estate market.
Yeah.
It means that risk appetite increases, capital flows increase. There's a sector difference, right? Because financial stocks may suffer because, of course, banks are making money out of high interest rates. And when they come down, it's better. And actually, utilities, oddly enough, like lower interest rates because they typically have very high debt repayments, right?
Yeah.
So if you put all of that together, so that's the good side, right? The negative side, the increasing inflation expectations or increasing inflation pressure. So, you know, of course, it's a balance, right? And of course, bond markets, it's, you know, bad for the bond market.
Let me raise my, you know, perennial, which is that it brings into even sharper focus the, should I call it, lack of wisdom in accessing your pension fund to the cost of accessing your pension fund, because the assets are going to go up in your pension fund,
yeah,
and you're using that to repay debt prematurely when interest rates are going to go down. So there's a, you know, yet another reason why you should hold your horses there. Although, just to finish my favorite subject, I see now, other than paying for consumption and reducing debt, the two-pot system has been discovered as a source of funds for taking money offshore. There seems to be quite a substantial amount of money, I guess, in the people that can afford to do so going offshore as a result of that. So what a conundrum. What a conundrum.
Yes, yeah.
I think there are lots of conundrums, yes, too, man. I mean, if I live in Gauteng, and if I look around me, there's a lot to worry about, actually. I mean, I just, this latest expose, if I can call it that, on the hospitals, it's not a pretty picture here. Beyond sort of, you know, and Joseph, if you look at Charlotte Maseki, come on, report on the toilets there is nothing short of disgusting. It won't surprise you. The infrastructure at Mohali City, which is, you know, it used to be Krugersdorp or something like that, they now are deliberately leasing raw sewage into the rivers and residential areas because the water system can't cope. And education, this is the part I'm a bit confused about the logic here. In education, what we're doing is, because the budgets have been cut, we are going to increase the classrooms but reduce the number of teachers. Now, that says to me that we're going to allow an increase in demand,
right,
having agreed to reduce supply. I went to a different set of, sums. So there's a lot simultaneously to be worried about infrastructurally and funding-wise and so on. And yet the politicians who are called to account for this seem less worried than ever before. And so I think there are elements of not just ill will, but ignorance, you know, a total lack of deep understanding of the consequences of these trends and their likely extrapolation. So I'm a little bit on edge, eh?
I have a number which is related to this. I was looking at immigration and, you know, sort of tripped up on this statistic, which was basically a survey done on young Africans. And the question was, do you want to leave Africa? So what would you guess? How many Africans out of 10 young Africans want to leave the continent?
Less than two.
Six. Six out of 10.
Wow. Wow. Yep. That is alarming to me.
Just amazing.
That is alarming.
And why do they want to do that? So obviously economic reasons, the main one, about half of the people are.
Yeah.
But education also very important.
Yeah. Education is critical.
People want to get educated out of something. And corruption. Corruption actually affects young people much more than. So now it's interesting. A lot of people don't want to leave and come back. You know, so there's a lot of people who.
How does that trigger? We'll fix it up when they're gone.
No. People want to leave to get educated. They just don't trust African education enough.
Okay, yeah.
And we're just talking about young people here, right? There's a related thing, which is which area in the world has seen the biggest migration? This, I think, might surprise people.
Which way? In or out?
Out. So yes. If you're talking about Africa, Asia, Europe, Latin America, Northern America, and then Oceania, of those groups, which has seen the largest number, absolute number of immigrants?
China.
And the answer is Asia.
Yeah, to Asia.
No, yeah, which sort of makes sense because they're the largest, right? So over the past, you know, quite a long time, over the past 50 years or so, about 8 million Asians have left.
Yeah, but you know, there's a good reason behind that in my view.
Yeah.
They're well educated.
Yeah.
In my, you know, sort of layman's view of the world, they're not aggressive or belligerent or, you know, political in their... They're not a noisy bunch, you know. They get on with it and they contribute to the economy. I was watching the Solheim Cup, which is the sort of ladies' golf version of the Ryder Cup, I think.
Right.
And the American team had at least 5 Asians in it, 50%.
Yeah.
Okay. Nice. Which are obviously American now. But they're kind of welcome. They contribute to where they arrive.
Yes.
They don't cause all sorts of trouble. And yeah, I'm not surprised.
Yeah, yeah. So obviously in that list, the second largest number, absolute number, is from Latin America. This is about 5 million. But Africa comes third. I mean, it's 2.5 million Africans have left. These are not huge numbers, but this is net, yeah? But still, if you compare Africa, for example, it's like 1.4, 1.5 billion people. But to lose 2.5 million people, it's not a, you know, it's a huge number,
certainly.
Especially over that long period of time. But still, it's not just that number, you know, it's the people who are leaving. You know, what did they do before?
Yeah, but it's also statistics a bit, you know. I mean, a lot of the people, I would argue, in Africa are not leaving because they can't leave, okay? You know, it's a bit like the unemployment figure, you know. How do you count the people that are trying to get a job but can't get one versus the people who've given up looking? So that's sort of debate in my view as well.
Yeah.
It, of course, begs the other question, where are they going to and how are those countries coping with it, the influx? And I, even in a localized semigration sense, I saw an article recently where I think it was even Alan Windey himself who was saying, we're cutting budgets and we've got a huge influx of people to serve. How do you match that equation up?
Yep,
you know?
Exactly.
And so these pendulums will inevitably end up somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
Has the world become a smaller place or a bigger place?
I think that's part of it too. You know, I'm old enough to remember that leaving the country, you know, was a big thing.
You know?
I mean, just to visit, you know, just to go overseas. And you were really throwing yourself into a sort of different world and you had to go to the bank and get traveler's checks and, you know, the sort of financial systems didn't sort of match up and it was hard to know, you know, you had to get maps of the places that you were going, you know, just like now people are very familiar with everywhere else in the world. Because it's all at the, you know, tips of your fingers.
There are all sorts of population dynamics which we are going to start seeing the consequences of. A sad one I read about is in our country now, 365 teenage births are happening every day. That's 365 births to teenage girls 365 days of the year.
Wow.
And a good percentage of those are younger than 15 years old. Now, you know, being born into a country with our unemployment and other challenges is one thing. Being born into a, you know, into that particular set of circumstances is a worrying another. You know, and I read further about our little children. I mean, that a third of them who go into school can't recognize their own name. Now, I didn't find that particularly alarming. In fact, in my school, in standard 6 or 7, there were still a few of us that couldn't recognize our own name, you know. I mean, so that didn't worry me as much as the pregnancy statistic does. And so, and all the old people that are getting older but not leaving, we've got some demographic shifts which I think will be central to the economic and social debates of the world in the next decade. I mean, I think that's going to be one of the biggest issues.
What's the difference between investing and speculating? Should you time the markets or spend time in the markets? What is risk and why spend so much time managing it? Why is compounding considered the most powerful force in the universe? And why is time one of the most important elements in the compounding formula? Learn these and other key investment principles from one of the best in the industry. In his book, Time in the Markets, Dave Fuad, founder of Fuad Asset Management, shares anecdotes and experiences earned over decades immersed in the markets. Valuable insight that will have you investing successfully for the long term. Download your free copy of Time in the Markets from their website, fuad.co.za. That is F-O-O-R-D. And while you're there, look out for Fuad Industries' first Teach Your Child to Invest picture book series about saving and investing. Fuad Asset Management, investment stewards since 1981 and pioneers in foundational financial literacy. We're talking about getting old and everything. I mean, this past week did see the sad death of Pravin Gordhan, really one of our kind of iconic politicians. Did you meet him ever? Did you know him?
Yeah, I met him on more than one occasion in his capacity as public enterprises, which sort of intersect and overlapped, you know, somewhere in the world where I was operating in the post office. And I found him, you know, he had ideologies that didn't always intersect with mine in terms of, you know, socialism and communism versus capitalism, things of that debate. But the fact that we had differences didn't impact, you know, at all on my assessment of his integrity and purpose, which I, you know, I can't argue against. You know, if someone disagrees with you, it doesn't make them bad. It just, you know, it's how they go about that disagreement, I guess, that you focus on. But, you know, he's clearly a servant of the country that served with purpose, even if you didn't always agree with what he did and how he did it. So I may rest in peace. I've got no bad comments to make.
I mean, he's a sort of fabulous icon. I met him a bunch of times right through his political career. You sort of mentioned his integrity, but you know, the other thing about him was he was fantastically hardworking.
Yeah.
Really dedicated. And that really, often that really makes such a difference.
Yeah.
I mean, there is one sort of like weird irony about his career. And that is, you know, starting from the sort of newest government, because the time period he served in, you know, various governments in South Africa. It's just amazing, amazing. He hasn't been out of government for 30 years. But, you know, to me, his first job was his greatest, and that was the head of SARS.
SARS.
Yeah. He really professionalized it, modernized it, you know, and it suited him. It suited everything about him, you know, because he quite liked taking money from the capitalists. That was part of it. You know? Not a terrible thing for the tax man. Yeah,
particularly ill-gotten gains, and I support him on that.
No, precisely. And then, you know, he moved on to the finance ministry, where he was also just, you know, very good, very sort of honorable, obviously. And then he ended up in his worst portfolio. Yeah.
Big on sin taxes.
Yes, big on sin taxes. Yeah. And then he ended up in his worst possible portfolio, which was really sort of interfacing with
public enterprises. You know,
public enterprises. Yeah. But sort of taken as a whole, just a fabulous guy.
Yeah. I've got a number. I've got a final little number for you.
Oh, you got a number? Okay.
Yeah. So now in the public service, they don't have outcome-based remuneration, which is something I need to write a lot about because that's the solution. And they don't have incentive schemes. However, that doesn't mean, okay, that you can't earn a bit of cash by using the system. Okay. So I see that the tourism board, how many times do you think they met in a year?
Four.
Okay. They actually met 54 times in 7 months.
Oh, okay.
And the reason, this was in the newspaper, and the reason they did that, because you get paid board fees every time you attend. So that is roughly kind of twice a week. It was 7 months, 54 times. Okay. So twice a week. You call a board meeting and you get paid board fees and so on. So if you're looking for a way to make a bit of cash, call a meeting. Call another meeting. Okay. And I sit and have sat on any number of boards. Four is a stretch. Okay. And we get work done when we're there. Yeah. So and there's always a way to scale a bit of cash from the system, eh? If you can use the system.
All right. Well, that's an interesting number.
Have a good week. Cheers.
Cheers, man. Look after yourself.